Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Before I preach the sermon, I would like to read the email. This email was written to me in another language, but I will translate for you in English because I know you will not understand another language, except a few of you here. The first email here, this email was written by a pastor who had been pastoring a church for several years, for more than, I think, 16, 18 years. He and his wife served God together. And this is what he wrote to me on October 25th in the email. When the fire of God came into our church, the devil tried every single way to take the fire out of our church. But after I and my wife prayed together, we loved each other even more than before in the fire of God. Last Sunday, which means last Sunday, while we were worshiping God, God came down and touched me in the church building. I fell under the power of God without anyone lay hand on me. When I fell to the ground, I felt so heavy, like a big mountain, huge mountain was on my body. I lay on the ground still, like a dead person, for 1 hour. I stuck on the floor, and then I began to cough and cough and cough and cough more than 30 times. Some coughs are so severe, come out from my tummy, feel like I want to vomit. Many, many times, I felt like winds come out from my mouth. When I cough, I saw a vision that many, many demons make a parade walking out of my body. And then after that, I cried and cried out loud on the stage. The snot came out of my nose. My saliva came out from my mouth. I could not move. I was crying for more than an hour. My members were shocked. But they understood that God touched me. The snot still coming out. And the saliva came to my mouth, and I did not even have strength to lift my hand to wipe out my face, to clean my face. My team leaders had to drag me out of the stage because I could not go on to minister. And other members have to come up to run the church, to run the service. This is not my personality at all. But God is great. While I was crying on the stage, in the midst of all the members, I felt the fear of God in my heart so strong. I fear God, and I did not want to sin against God any longer. The fear of God came upon me so much. And that's what happened on Sunday morning. I felt that about 40 to 50 demons came out of me by the fire of God. In the evening, I went to a care group in a village called Ta Chat Chai. There were about 40 people in that group. God led me to cast out demons. This is very exciting. In the midst of these people, many, many non-believers were there and saw the greatness of God. I learned one thing, that whenever God wants to do anything in a local church, God has to do to the pastor first. Before revival come into your home, it has to start with the husband. That's what he tried to say. In the local church, has to start from the pastor. God make all the members in, every member in my church, received the baptism of fire that day. After I and my wife came into the fire of God and met you and talked to you, emailed you, my life has never been the same. I am looking forward to fly up to Bangkok to meet you. This is the first email. Another second email here. I would like to talk about the file of God in my church again. Today, this is October 27, 2 days later. I went to a care group. God, the Holy Spirit, moved so strongly. When we pray for the file of God to come down and set the captive free from chains and bondages, everybody in the care group was touched by the file of God and received deliverance, including myself again. While I was laying on of hand and prayed for people, God Himself touched me too, and I lost my strength and fell to the ground again. I was shaking under the power of God, and I could not get up and walk. I fell stuck on the ground again for 1 hour. This is the second experience. I was on the ground, and I coughed and coughed again from the depth of my tummy, and almost vomit again, like what happened on Sunday. And I felt that evil spirits came out of me. When I stopped coughing, I thought that it's over, and I tried to get up, but I could not. God told me it's not done yet. Why? I could not control myself. I could not stand up. I felt stomach pain, severe stomach pain, and I felt that somebody cut on my stomach, like surgery. And then I know that God is doing something in me to finish the work. And I felt that some demons start to come out. So I say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out. I don't allow you to be in my body anymore. After that, I felt something come up to my neck, and then I coughed very strong, and then demons come out of me, more than 10 of them. After that, I felt so light, and peace came into my heart, and I laughed and laughed in the Holy Ghost very strong. I was on the floor laughing for half an hour, happy, joyful in the Lord. I have victory in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Pastor, for encouraging me to be in the file of God. This is another email from a sister in Bangkok. My husband read the email of this pastor while he was sitting in his office in front of the computer. He commanded demon to come out of him, and he began to cough. And a lot of co-workers in the office wonder what happened to him. And he felt that something come out from his stomach, and he was set free. Amen. Khun San, where is Khun San? Where is Khun San? I thought he is here. Oh, okay, I'll call him later on. Today, the topic of the sermon is, I changed my sermon last minute. Can a Christian have a demon? Wow, very popular subject. I feel that this is one of the most important sermons that every Christian needs to listen. Because a lot of people don't understand this. Years ago, I taught in the church that Christians could not have demons. I preached long sermon that Christian cannot be, demon cannot be in Christian, but they can oppress, suppress, digress, regress, and also obsess, but not possessed. They could be outside a Christian, oppressing a Christian, but they could not be inside a person. Because the theology says this, that demon cannot be in the same body as the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of the living God. But the problem was, our experience does not match with our theology. When we minister deliverance, we find that a lot of time, spirit-filled Christians are delivered from demons. It just happened to me in the trip to Bangkok last time, and just happened in the prayer meeting last Friday. That one person, We cast demons out of them while we having a prayer meeting. The right theology must line up with the experiences. Amen. So anytime your experiences contradict the theology, you need to question that theology. And before God change your theology, He's going to lead you to have experience to show you that you need to go back and study the Bible again. You need to face the fact in the Bible in a humble way and let the Holy Spirit to tell you what is the right doctrine in the Bible. I remember many years ago, I have this doctrine in Luke chapter 11 verse 13 that if you ask the Holy Spirit, He will come down upon you and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongue one time, done deal. And you don't need to ask anymore. That is the theology I learned long time ago. But after I came into revival, I find out that we can ask for the Holy Spirit again and again and again. Because the original doctrine was wrong. So by experience we learn that many doctrines and erroneous or wrong. We cannot question experiences because we could see with our own eyes. Therefore, every time experiences are against the theology we teach in the church, we need to humble ourselves and go back to read the Bible again. Today, I'm going to lead you through the scriptures to prove that Christians, even pastors, even ministers can have demons. And I believe there are a lot of them in this room right now that need to be cast out. I know that this is quite unpopular subject and you may think that I'm mean. But God wants to set you free. Amen. In our search of the truth, we realize that Jesus never say cast off demon. Jesus say cast out demon. Which means that the demon must be inside, that's why you cast it out. Amen. So it means that every time we cast out demon, we cast out demon from the inside of a person, not from the outside. Amen? Amen. Definitely, we don't make a doctrine in the church by looking at experience. We don't experiences to make a doctrine in the church. We use the Bible. But anytime experience consistent, I'm talking about consistent experience, run counter an interpretation of the Bible, then we need to sit down and correct that doctrine. Amen. How many people agree with me that we need to be honest with experience? The question is, can a Christian have a demon or demons inside of them? Can a spirit Christian speaking in tongue? A few weeks ago, I talked to one of my patients. They asked me, what kind, who are you? I'm saying, I know that they are Christian. I say, I'm a tongue talker. I answer, I'm a tongue talker. They wonder what tongue talker mean. I'm a spirit-filled Christian. Amen. So, now after being a pastor for more than 20 years, experiencing deliverance. When I say deliverance, mean deliver from demon. I am convinced that Christians can have demons. And that's why many Christians in the world struggle with their life, cannot worship God, see nude picture, have bad thoughts come into their mind while they were worshiping. They endlessly fight and fight in the flesh and could not come out from those sins with victory. And I find out also that there are many kinds of demons. And one of the demons, one kind of demons is the demon of theology. The demon that will come into the church and teach the church wrong doctrine. Actually, the Bible says in the book of Timothy, listen to the doctrine of demons. And demons like to tell the church that, oh, Christian cannot have demon, so that they can gain strength and hide themselves in Christians and torture that Christian for long, long years until they even die. That's why I believe that in the church, we need to have a clean-up service off and on. In the church, every time people accept Christ, we need to clean them up. Amen? And sometimes we have to clean even old believers up because you got out and you do something and come back with another demon. You need to clean up. That's why I love revival, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because when the fire of God came, it will burn all the devil away from you. Amen? A minister say like this in the book. Can you show Colossians chapter 1 verse 13? I will read Colossians 1:13. Say, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. One minister said like this, oh, we become a Christian, Jesus set us free, there is no demon, I never lay hand and cast out demon in my church. Then if the person say like that, he should say the same way, don't come to the front line, to the prayer line, to pray for sickness. Because the Bible say in 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes you were healed. So if you were healed, we don't have sickness in the church. We don't need to lay hand on the sick in the church and no one gets sick in the church anymore. What is the problem here? Jesus already set us free from demon. Jesus healed us 2,000 years ago. But it does not happen automatically. We still need to grab that victory by faith, by the laying on of hands, by the file of God, by the anointing of God. Amen. It's done deal. Legally, you were healed. Legally, you were set free. But practically, you are still having some sickness, disease, and some of you have demons that need to be cast out. Amen. So the Bible is clear about this. Therefore, we have to be careful with demonic doctrine about the church, that Christian cannot have demon. You notice in the church, a lot of people have natural infirmities, sickness and disease and problem in the family, husband and wife fight each other. You have your own weaknesses. You have a lot of problems that you cannot be set free. Some people in the church, you know, I notice some people in the church when they sit at home watching TV like this, they can watch TV all night until 2 a.m. But when I begin to preach, begin to fall asleep. I don't know why. I think maybe I'm not a good preacher. They just fall asleep every Sunday. That may be the demon of slumberness, demon of sleepiness. Just want to keep you asleep during sermon time so you will not hear the truth. Amen. Amen. Some people have demons of pornography. Some people have demons of lies, like to lie a lot. So Christians face endless conflict in their life between the flesh and the Holy Spirit because they have enemy on the inside of them trying to discourage them, trying to get them defeated all the time. Therefore, you know, a lot of theologians care more about arguing about the doctrines rather than setting the captive free. I am not here to argue with people about doctrine. I'm here to set the captive free from demonic power. Amen. The church should be the place that people come in and get clean. Get clean up. Amen. We don't want demons around in the church. Amen. So God commissioned us to go out, not to argue about doctrine. God commissioned us to go out, preach the gospel all over the world, and cast out demons and heal the sick and lay hand on the sick. God never called us to go out and argue about doctrine in another land. We just go and set the captive free. Amen. How many people agree with me that cancer is a form of the attack of Satan, satanic attack? Let me ask this question. Can you get rid of cancer by just standing and looking at a person's eyes? You know what you need to do? A doctor needs to cut in and take out that cancer cell. Actually, one of my friends, he is a neurosurgeon. He studied cancer cell in the research. And he found out that cancer cell can crawl many, you know, micron and a minute. They have life in it. It's a power of darkness in those cancer cells. Amen. So you can see here that you are facing not just cancer cell, you're facing some power inside, the demonic power. And even the doctor have to cut in into the body and get rid of that cancer. So the same thing, when the demon is in your body, you need to cast them out, get rid of them. Amen. Amen. So we should not feel bad about it that we have experience of being set free or delivered. Even Mary Magdalene, the Bible labeled her that she is a woman that Jesus cast out seven demons out of her. That is her label in the Bible, which is an honor. It's honor that God set you free. Don't think this in a negative way. You may think that, oh, in the Bible, a lot of the Jews that came to Jesus, they were uneducated. They did not know much. I am an educated person. I graduate from master degree, PhD. They don't know much. But at least they are very honest that they need help. You know, one key to receive deliverance is to be humble and admit that I have a problem. I need God's help. Amen. That's why Jesus said that those who are poor in the spirit shall be blessed. You need to know that you need God's help in order to be helped by God. If you think that you know everything, you're fine, then you will not seek a doctor. You seek the doctor named Jesus to set you free. Only you know that you have some problem inside of you. You need to admit it, that I have a problem. God set me free from demon in 1997 or 1998. I have the same experience like this pastor. God, the fire of God touched me. I was on the floor for an hour. Demon come out of me. And I was already a pastor for a long time at that time. But God, after that, I was set free. I was a new man. So we need to understand the terminology in the Bible. Let me explain about terminology. How many people watch the movie called Exorcist? The Hollywood movie make a lot of people misunderstand the word possessed by demon. Because the Hollywood movie, actually lately in the TV, there's a lot of movie about Halloween. You know, demon, all these things. Last night I turned on the TV and said, oh, this is not good for this society. Lots of demonic. And even Pastor Da read a book that some people in America see demon in their home and welcome them as their dad and mom to protect them. Because they are not educated that demons are not good. Demons are destructive. Amen. So, you know, a lot of people think that when the Bible says demon possess, it means that demon fully own and control the same that person to make the head spin. And the eye pop out like Exorcist movie. That they control the whole life. And that is a big misunderstanding. The word possessed that the Bible used, actually, it means occupy. It doesn't mean total ownership, because you are owned by Jesus. Amen. Jesus owned you, not demon. Demon possessed or occupied in certain part of your life. It come in sight and influence certain area of your life. Maybe area of emotion, maybe area of physical body, maybe some area of sin. The Bible, when the Bible called demon, the Greek language is daimonian. It's a Greek language, demon, daimonian. And whenever a person have the influence of demon, the Bible used the word in Greek, daimonizomai. And some people call demonized. You are demonized, you are under influence of the devil or demons. To me, it doesn't matter you use the word demonized, influenced by demon, oppressed by demon, or possessed by demon. Because our understanding from the Bible is that a demon cannot possess a Christian, cannot own a Christian completely. But they occupy certain part of the body. I give you an example. If a demon occupy your big toe, that demon possess your big toe, but not the whole body. You understand what I'm talking about? So we have to be clear about how demons work in people's life. They occupy certain part of your life. Amen? Amen. Now, in order to understand how demons occupy a Christian or possess a Christian, we need to understand that we have three parts in our life. The spirit, soul, and body. When you were born again, soul means emotion, will, and decision or judgment. John chapter 3 verse 6 say clearly that John 3 6 say that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So when you are born again, your spirit is born again, not your soul, not your mind. That's why your mind is still fighting every single day with your spirit, not your body. If your body is born again, you will not have a gray hair anymore. You will have a new body. Is that right? So your body is not born again. Your soul is not born again. Your spirit is born again. So when you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit came in and lived inside your spirit. That is a part of your life that Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, is dwelling. But the other parts, the soul and the body, you need to work on it. You need to fill those parts with God. If you don't fill them up, then you open the door for demon to come in, to occupy or possess those areas. Am I confusing here? No. You understand what I'm talking about. Now I'm going to show you from the scripture in John chapter 2 verses 14 to 17 how this relates to the scripture. There he, meaning Jesus, found in the temple enclosure those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers, those who make money in the temple, sitting there also at their stands. And having made a latch, a whip of cords, he drove them out. Ekbalo. The same word that Jesus used in Mark chapter 16, 17. And this sign will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. So Jesus cast them out of the temple. Both the sheep and the oxen, spilling and scattering the broker's money and upsetting and tossing around their trays, their stands. Then to those who sold the dove, he said, take this away, this thing away, out of here. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise, a marketplace, a sale shop. And his disciples remember that it is written in the holy scriptures, zeal, the fervor of love for your house will eat me up, and I will be consumed with jealousy for the honor of your house. Jesus went into the temple while he was walking on earth, and he drove out, he cast out, ekbalo, cast out those who came into the in the temple to make money, to do wrong things, to sin in the house. And where is the house now? Where is the house of God now? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit dwells in you? In the Old Testament, the temple of God has three parts. The Holy of Holies, the inner room, where the Shekinah glory of God or the Spirit of God was dwelling. Are you following me? Yes. And then the holy place, outside the Holy of Holies. And outside we call the outer court. When Jesus went into that temple that day, he drove out the money changer from the outer court. The Holy of Holies is compared to your spirit, where the Holy Spirit is dwelling. But the outer court is your soul and your physical body. So some people welcome demon into the outer court. And Jesus has a purpose to drive them out. That's why Jesus command, you see the first commandment of the Great Commission, go to build a church. He didn't say go all over the world, preach the gospel to all creation. Those who believe in my name shall be saved. Those who don't believe in my name shall be condemned. And in my name you go build a church building. No, he said in my name go and cast out demons. So every time I fly out to mission trip, I will conduct casting out demons in my meeting. I don't do a lot here because I'm a local pastor. But I think I need to do more. Amen. To cleanse our church. Amen. Amen. I usually do in my mission trip. The same principle, you go in and cast out demons. Exodus 26:33 talk about the three parts of the temple. And you shall hang the veil from the clasp and bring the ark of the testimony into the place within the veil. The veil shall separate for you the holy place from the most holy place. So three places in the temple. The most holy place, the holy place, and the outer court. Jesus went into the temple and drove out those money changers from the outer court. The outer court is your soul and your body. Why Jesus want to do that? Let's say every one of us say, I am a temple of God. Wave to God. I am a temple of God. You know what temple of God should do? I read the scripture to you. Isaiah 56 verse 7. The temple of God should not be the place of complaining, sarcastic, and doing bad things. The temple of God should be this. And all this I will bring to my holy mountain, Isaiah 56 verse 7, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. The temple of God is a house of prayer. Not gossiping, not complaining, not attacking anybody. Mark 11:17. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. Who are the thieves? Demons. Is that right? The thief come to this, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So the Satan sent demons to come and live on the inside of Christian. And instead of Christian living a life that give glory to God, they live a life that cause God to have bad name because they sin against God. So demons are behind many, many sins in your life. Now I will continue the scripture to prove to you that Christians can have demons. Here another interesting point about deliverance. Let's look at Luke chapter 11, verse 24 to 26. A lot of people think that casting out demons should be done only to non-believers. If I ask you, right or wrong? Yes or no? Casting out demons should be done to only non-believers because Christians have no demons. Right or wrong?
Wrong.
Okay. You can cast out demons from non-believers only that if not that non-believers, those non-believers want to accept Christ at the spot. Okay? You don't cast out demons to the non-believers. You don't conduct deliverance to non-believers if they don't want to accept Christ. Because this is what the Bible says in Luke chapter 11, 24 to 26. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He say, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Nothing in there, empty. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Can we cast out demons from non-believers? I don't think it's a good idea. Because if that non-believer does not accept Christ, his state gonna get worse in a few days. Demon gonna come back with seven more times. That's why I believe that casting out demons are the ministry that is for only believers. Why Jesus tell us to go cast out demons, but Jesus said don't cast out demons on the non-believers. So it means only one left is to cast out demons from believers. Agree?
Amen.
Now look at another scripture here. You remember one time a woman, Syrophoenician woman in Mark chapter 7, came to Jesus. She was not a Jew. She came and said, my daughter have demon possessed. Could you please set her free? And look at what Jesus say in Mark chapter 7 verse 27. Let the children be filled first. For it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dog. What does it mean here? Every blessing of God that recorded in the Bible is the promise for his covenant people.
Amen.
Listen one more time. Our God is a covenant God. He make promises. He make covenants, the covenant with his people. His people in the Old Testament were the Jews. His people in the New Testament are the Jews and the believers like you and me. So we are covenant people. And the covenant people like you and me and the Jews have the right to receive every provision of God. Healing, deliverance, prosperity, victory, joy, peace, anointing, all these things. We have that right to receive from God. Let's say, I am a covenant people. And my God is a covenant God. So when Jesus was talking to this lady who was not a Jew, he said like this, the children's bread. Who are the children? The Jews. What is the bread? Deliverance. Because this lady come to ask for deliverance of her daughter. And he said, no, you are not my covenant people. You cannot get this bread. But you need to understand that God is a merciful God. Even at that time, she was not a covenant people, but she put her faith in Jesus. And God, by His mercy, set her daughters free. Amen? Look at what the Bible says. Why God want to set us free? Why God want to set His covenant people free? There are reasons. Look at Luke chapter 1, 71 to 73. That we should be saved from our enemies. Who are our enemies with S? Demonic. Demons. Is that right? Demonic power. And from the hand of all who hate us. Who hate us? Satan. Evil spirit. And fallen angel. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers. And to remember His holy covenant. The oath which He swore to our father Abraham. The Bible says in Galatians 3:29, and we are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. My conclusion is this. Because you believe in Jesus, you believe that He died for you, He shed His blood for your sin, He delivered you from demonic power, you become a child of God. Amen. You are a seed of Abraham. And God gave promises to Abraham. So when you become a child of Abraham, you receive that promise too. The covenant. He keep His holy covenant. And one of the holy covenant that He make with His people is this. We should be saved from our enemies. You can see here that deliverance is for only believer. It's a covenant, it's a promise of God that Christians need to be set free from demonic power. That's why when Jesus came into the world, one of His purpose is to set Christians free from demonic oppression. Amen? And what is the result of deliverance? Look at verses 74 and 75. To grant us, who are us? We. To grant us. You see, God talking about deliver us, save us from our enemy. God did not say save the unbeliever from the enemy. God saved believers from our enemy. Okay? To grant us that we being delivered, amen, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear. I remember before I got set free from demon, I have a lot of fear in my heart. I mean, fear this, worry that, oh, maybe I don't have enough food to eat, maybe that, if I fly to Asia, maybe the plane will crash or something, you know, fear all the time. But after demon come out, we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. Why so many people are stumbled by Christians? They look at Christian and they shake their head. Oh, Christian are worse than me. They live worse than me. Because many Christians still have demons. And they don't live in holiness and righteousness. So when the non-believer look at the Christian, they say, oh no, I don't want to be Christian. They still lie, they still gossip, they still get drunk, they still smoke, they still get drugs, they still, you know, cheat their wife, they still, you know, do a lot of bad things. They don't serve God in holiness and righteousness. What is the reason? Because they still have a lot of demons inside them, controlling their mind, controlling their body. Amen? You understand? I try to lead you through the Bible to see that demon can be in Christians. Now look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 15. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Everyone say, work out.
Work out.
What does it mean, work out? Can you help me? Work out. Jenny, what does it mean, work out in English? Okay, another word. Amen. Another word, you have to do something. You cannot walk into the workout club and stand in front of the weight and look and, the weight look nice. I can stand and look at the weight. You need to just use your hand, pick up the weight and start to exercise your bicep. 1, 2, 3. You get the muscle get stronger by working out, doing something. Is that right? Work out your salvation. Amen. This passage talking about the human side or the human responsibility of deliverance. A lot of people misunderstand God. They think that, oh, today I accept Jesus Christ. I'm done. I'm free now. Oh, no more demon, no more sin. I'm free, I'm healed, everything done deal in one day. No. Jesus did that 2,000 years ago, but it's our human responsibility to do something about the blessing, about the victory. You cannot just sit idly doing nothing. You need to work out your salvation. It's a human responsibility and respect aspect. Actually, the word salvation in this scripture is not so-so, but is soteria. Soteria means deliverance from the molestation of enemies. This is not so-so. Let me repeat one more time. Soteria, you work out the deliverance from the molestation of your enemies. Who are your enemies? Demons. You need to do something about it. You need to build your faith. You need to call them out. You need to get into the fire of God. You need to read the Bible, listen to the CD, build your faith, go to church, worship God, being in the fellowship, walking in the light, don't hide yourself, open your life to brother and sister in the church. You need to do something. Like what Ginny said a while ago. Pray, read the Bible, go to church, worship, go to the prayer line, get the fire of God touch you, listen to CD, fellowship, go to care group. You need to do something. You cannot just say, oh, it's going to happen automatically. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen automatically. You need to work out your salvation. That's the reason why thousands upon thousands of believers in the world never been set free. Because they never work out their deliverance from the molestation of their enemies. Even though Jesus shed his blood already, but you need to do something. You need to come to the prayer line. You need to come and raise your hand and say, touch me. Come and cleanse me. You need to pray. And you need to speak by faith to command the devil out of you. Amen.
Yes.
Actually, I was going to call Khun San to come up to give testimony. What happened to San is that he was sitting in my house on Thursday or Wednesday. I don't remember what day. I print that email out and he was reading that email. Oh no, I think he checked his email. And he was reading email. Khun San is there. Maybe he can come up and share a little bit. Khun San, can you come up and share? You read the email. He worked out his salvation. He worked out his salvation. What happened to you after you read that email?
I read email from Thailand. About pastor in Thailand.
Yes.
And he said he fell down.
Yes. Okay.
He said he fell down because of the fire of God, and he coughed and vomited, and he saw many demons came out of him. So another email I read, one brother in Live Up Life Church. You read that
office,
email
in the office.
In the office, a lot of coworkers are out there, and he said, "God can do with that pastor. God can do with him too."
Amen.
So he asked God for deliverance, and then God did. Yeah, he coughed a lot, and then his coworker just say, "What happened to this guy? Why he coughed a lot?" So nobody know, just him. And then I read that email and I sit in front of a computer too. I say, God can do with that pastor. God can do with that brother, and God can do with me too.
Amen.
So I ask God. I know something that inside of me, I know something is bad.
Mm.
You know, many times that I want to serve God and. Like something hold me, something drag me, and when I close my eyes to worship God, I have a bad picture or something. You know, they always throw bad stuff in my mind, always. You say, "Wow, yeah, that's true." And then I say, "God, I'm so tired. I don't want to be like this. I want to serve you. I want to go on 100% with you."
Amen.
And then. I ask God, really simple prayer.
Simple prayer.
Mm-hmm. God help me. After I pray, nothing happened. And I keep praying. God help me, God help me. 15 seconds later, I feel something inside me.
Wow, this is in my den, at my house. I was not there.
I feel something inside, want to come out. But I don't know what is it, but I know this bad. I ask God, "Is that thing?" And he said, "Yes." So please take it out. Get rid of it. And then I vomit many times.
Cough.
Coughed many times. But nothing come out, just
air.
Yeah.
You know the word spirit is pneuma, which means air. Evil spirit is like an air. That's why you cough and you vomit.
For many times, and then I asked God, "Is that all?" He said, "No."
More.
Again, I cough and vomit again, and I'd say, "Is that all?" He said, "No." Kneel down. I obey him right away. Kneel down on the floor, and then for a few minutes, continue to cough and for a few minutes, and then stop. I stand up. I feel so released.
Amen.
I feel free.
Amen.
I can jump. I feel I can jump high. I can fly actually.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So you need to work out your salvation. You need to do something about it. Don't just be idle, sit around. "Oh, I'm fine." You know, you need to press in like the woman with the issue of blood. Amen. Now, let me continue, almost done. And we're going to conduct some deliverance. Amen. Another erroneous belief. So today you're going to have to stay a little bit longer.
Amen.
Is that a Christian has demon. It must be the result of his sin. Is that, you think that way? I agree that sins in your life is an open door or channel for demon to come in. Every sin that man can make has a corresponding demon. If you sin witchcraft, there's a demon of witchcraft. If there is a sin of lie, you have a demon of lie come in. Demon and sin are like a wet and water. You have water, you get wet. Demon and sin are like dead meat and worm. Dead meat means sin, and worm is demon. They come together. So if you have a habitual sin, keep sinning the same thing. You go to the computer and you click on pornography again and again. Eventually, the demon is going to come through your eyes and start to control you. And you're going to go worse and worse and worse, eventually commit adultery or fornication, whatever. It's going to come as a gang. Demon will come in as a gang. So sin definitely is an open door for demon. But not every demon come because of sin. So if I say you have demons, I don't mean you are bad people. Okay, don't take me wrong. I'm not saying that you are bad people. You are criminals. You are like, you need to be hanged and something. No, no, no. I'm not saying you're bad. Because demon can come in many ways. One of the ways that demon can come in is by other people's sin. I give you an example. If you grew up in an abusive home, your parents abuse you, hit you, say bad things to you all the time, the demon of rejection and the demon of abuse will come into your life. It's not your sin, but it's your parents' sin. Demon can come in when you face a very strong or serious accident or serious shock. Because when you shock, your emotion like get breakdown, then you open the door. You know, the Bible said our life is like a city in the book of Proverbs. It's like a city. So when the wall come down, demon come in right away. So can come from many sources. And demon can come through generation. Amen. Come through the generation, through the bloodlines. If your grandparents, your great-grandparents sinned against God, that demon will follow from generation to generation to generation. Therefore, to have demon, it doesn't mean that you are bad people. But just you live on the earth where there's a lot of problem. People sin around you, people, you know, abuse you, you get mad and whatever happened, then demon can come in. And that's why I believe totally in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the fire of God. A lot of people misunderstand, Pastor Lau, why you keep laying on of hand and have people touched by God? You know what? Because I loved you. I want you to be set free. I want the fire of God to come in and burn all this demon out of you. Because you go out, you get again. You come back, burn them out again. We need to keep... How many people take a shower once a year? Raise your hand up. I will run away from you right now. How many people take a shower once a year? I take a shower 2 times a day sometimes. But at least once a day. Otherwise, my wife will be mad at me. So, we need to have the rains of God, the water of God, and the fire of God come and cleanse us. Sometimes when I don't lay hand on Sunday, some people start to complain to me, you don't move in the Holy Spirit today. What happened to you? They complain. Because they know that they need the Holy Spirit. They need to be cleansed by God. Amen? So, demons come in not only when you sin, but come through bloodlines, generation, when you other people sin, or when you get into a very critical situation that you cannot control your own emotion. My conclusion is this, after preaching this lesson, this sermon. Now, our church believe that any Christian can have demons or a demon. So whenever a person gets saved, it means automatically, we assume automatically that that person needs some level of deliverance. Sometimes God deliver people little by little, like that pastor. He didn't finish his operation one time. God did his operation on that man by stages, little by little. That's why you keep coming to the prayer line to get set free one issue at a time. God cannot do everything sometimes one time because you cannot handle it. I believe with all my heart. Every born again Christian, every new believer in the church has certain demons. No exception. Pastor, you're so mean. You say that about me. You say I have demons. Yes, you have. Why? Clear. Number one, before you became a Christian, you have sinned again and again already. So some type of demon is already in your life because you sinned before you were born again. Two, other people sin against you. They abuse you, they talk bad about you. You open yourself to be influenced by demon. Three, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20 verse 5 that the iniquities or the consequences of sin will pass to the fourth generation. So if one generation is 40 years, if you start to become a Christian in year 2000, year 2000. It means that something that happened from 1840 in your grandfather, great-grandfather has already affected you. So somebody in your bloodline in the past have sinned against God. And those demons follow them and follow you too. And they're going to follow into your bloodline. So every person in the world who give their life to Jesus Christ the first day need to be cleansed. And some old believers in this church need to be cleansed too. Because you have not been cleansed yet. So I go to Thailand this Wednesday. What I'm going to do is this. I get people saved. Then I fill them with the Holy Spirit. Speak in tongue. Fill them with the laughter. And then start to cast out demons. Every time I go to the meeting like that in Asia, I do all four. Complete job. Surgery. Sew it up before the patient wake up. You don't want to do half surgery and then go home. Then the patient wake up. Ooh, my back still have an open wound. Just do it all one time. Amen. Hallelujah. Think about it. How many people agree that most Christians need deliverance? Amen. I don't say all of them. Most of them. Because some of them already have been set free. Amen. That's why some of you have wrong thinking. Some of you cannot worship God. Some of you, when I begin to preach, start to get up and walk around and go to restroom 10 times. Before I preach, the bladders feel okay. But when I start to preach, oh, the bladders start to fill up. The demons start to, don't sit around here, get up and walk, get up. You know, just, he distract you. He try to get you out of the Word of God. Amen. How many people think that you need to be delivered? May not be complete today, but at least do something better than nothing. Amen. Okay. We're going to pray and ask God to deliver you. I think the key is this. The key is, number one, humble yourself and say, yes, I need help. Don't be prideful. Don't think that you are perfect. Two, the Bible says, the truth shall set you free. And the truth is not only the truth of the Bible, but the truth about yourself. If you recognize that you have some bad attitude all the time, you have problems with faith, you are lukewarm, you love money more than God, you have some problem in your attitude, in your life, you admit it. You admit that this is the fact of my life, this is the truth about my life. God, come and set me free. Three, you need to repent of your sin. Say, God, I'm sorry. I sinned against you. My ancestors sinned against you. Could you please forgive me? Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're not a believer today, I want to encourage you to accept Jesus right now before I conduct deliverance. Amen.
Amen.
If you're not a believer, unless you say, I want to keep those demons in my life, it's up to you. I cannot force you. It's your own free will. You need to accept Jesus today. And then, you need to forgive everyone that has offended you. Forgive Victor. Forgive Dwayne. Forgive Neil Calkin. Forgive Mary Jo. Amen. Forgive your pastor. Because the Bible says if you don't forgive, you cannot come to the altar and ask me. You need to go back to forgive first. You're going to come to the altar and ask God for deliverance. You need to forgive. You need to get that deal done first. And then you say, God, in Jesus' mighty name, I want this evil spirit to come out of me right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Don't worry. You are in the protection of the anointing. You do this in the covering of the church. Demon who come out from here will run out into there, go to somebody's house, but not here. But they will not be able to enter our kids. Don't worry about it, because you are under protection right now under the anointing here. So our kids will be protected. Don't worry about it.
Amen.
Amen. They will run out to somebody home around on Mercer Island here.
In the garbage can.
In the garbage can, I'm sorry. Garbage can. Pastor, that's so sweet. I just teasing. Amen. Now, when a silent car come on, you notice the car have to go on the side. Let the siren car go by. The same thing. When we begin to command the devil to come out of you, demon to come out, don't speak in tongue, don't pray in English. Let them go out. Because when you pray in tongue, you speak in English, you block that evil spirit to come out. You need to open up and you cough them out. This is not a coughing service. Don't misunderstand. A lot of people may think, oh, Pastor Lau, he has a coughing service. At least I'm not spitting on you. That's okay. I'm not doing a spitting service. Amen. But we need to let it go. Let them go. It may be complete today. It may not be complete. We can do it next time. We're going to do this off and on in the church. You may say, oh, Pastor, this is weird. I never go to church like this. Oh, the church I go, they just sing a few songs and then you know, preach for half an hour and go home. But if you go to Jesus' service, you will be amazed because the roof opened up and somebody come down. When you go to service of Jesus, you see people shaken by the power of God and demon come out of them. You see the supernatural happen. I'm not following any church tradition. I want to follow the Holy Spirit. So even though this is not traditional, it's okay. As long as people get set free, I'm happy. God is happy. It's not about follow any organizational tradition. It's about setting the captive free. I don't mind if this carpet get dirty. That's okay. We can clean it up. Amen?
Amen.
How many people believe that Jesus Christ has power to set you free? Amen. Pray with me right now. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I admit that I have done wrong against you. I want to forgive everyone that has offended me. Oh, Father, I make Jesus Lord of my life. Jesus, come into my heart. Dwell on inside of my spirit. I love you, Jesus. I believe that you can set me free. You say in the Bible, those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So now, I called on the name of the Lord. And His name is Jesus. Now, I'm working out my deliverance of the molestation of the evil spirit, my enemies, so that I can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness. I am free today. In Jesus' mighty name, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Devils, you cannot live inside of me. I reject you. You must go away right now. I drive you out. Right now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Get them out. Get them out right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Get them out. Get them out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Get them out. Hurashi. Thurumpashi Kantariyalaba. Yes, Lord. Keep asking God. Get them out. Get them out. Yes, Lord. This is not a joke. This is not a funny thing. This is holy. Horu Kampa. Shikantarayalaba. Cough them out. Cough them out. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let them go. 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 Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Cough them out. Don't hold back. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thruan Shikan Thara Baba Baba. Don't be an observer. Be a participator. Yes, Lord. Cough them out. Don't hold them back. But the first few cough might be natural cough. But I can guarantee, after a while, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel the devil come out of you. Dukun Thara Baba. Hallelujah. Yes, go for it. Cough. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. คุณแมวคําเฮียคุณแมวคุณแมวคําเฮีย Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift your hand up. Ask God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.